Dude, I'll go on Twitter and talk about a stock I like, or I go on TV and talk about a stock I like, but I've got a specific time horizon for liking that stock. And if your time horizon is different from mine, or yours is different from anyone else you're seeing or hearing on TV or on podcasts, it could be totally wrong. You could be getting mixed signals. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. I'm Mark Tepper, joined today by my sidekick, Tony Z. What up,
hog? What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Thanks for filling in for Diamond Hands D.
Diamond Hands?
Diamond Hands D, dude.
Oh, I didn't know.
You must not listen to the podcast, bro. Tony's been exposed. He doesn't listen to the podcast, but he's filling in today. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. All right. So here's what we're going to talk about today, Tone.
Yep.
I want to talk about the importance of time horizon in building out your unique investment strategy. Because, like, dude, I'll go on Twitter and talk about a stock I like, or I go on TV and talk about a stock I like, but I've got a specific time horizon for liking that stock. And if your time horizon is different from mine, or yours is different from anyone else you're seeing or hearing on TV or on podcasts, or you're reading about what kind of stock moves they're making, it could be totally wrong. You could be getting mixed signals.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, you talk about time horizons, but there's different types of accounts out there too. So you may have like your quote unquote fund money type of accounts. You might have your retirement plan, 401k, 403bs, things like that. Qualified dollars, you know, so the retirement plan's non-qualified. So what's your play account? What are your objectives? What are your time horizons? I know, for example, you've talked before on TV about Playboy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that, you know, you put that in the same account that you're doing your 401k, because that's more.
Yeah. Your 401k is kind of like your plug and chug.
Right.
Your 401k, that's not your hobby account, man. That's that money's supposed to just do what it's supposed to do. And it's supposed to be there when you need it. Don't get cute inside your 401k.
No.
That's not my idea of prudent investing. Right. Yeah. You mentioned play account, hobby account, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And that's where time horizon comes into play.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, for someone who's 30 years old, could they have 20, 30% of their money in their hobby account, of their total liquid net worth? Could they have that in their hobby account?
Yeah, they
have. Yeah, absolutely.
They have the time horizon.
They could probably have 50% in a hobby account where they're swinging for the fences.
Yep.
And maybe the other 50% is in more of their plug and chug strategy.
Yep.
Right.
I agree.
So that's for a 30-year-old. Now, alternatively, let's look at a 60-year-old. Could a 60-year-old have 50% of their money in a hobby account, or 30%?
No, because I've had those conversations. And,
yeah.
And we have to bring it back to planning. We have to bring it back to time horizon, risk tolerance, things like that.
So yeah. Yeah.
That, so that might need to get scaled down to 5 to 10%, 10 being on the very high side.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can call it a hobby bucket. We can call it a play bucket. We can call it a speculative bucket.
Yep.
That's essentially, let's define that for the listener. So that's going to be those stocks where you're stepping up to the plate and you're swinging out of your shoes. What would fit in that bucket? Crypto?
Yeah.
Crypto would fit in that bucket. Bitcoin, Ethereum. If you're investing in NFTs or any of that stuff, that would fit in that speculative bucket.
Yep.
You thinking you know how to trade stocks, even though you have no education, right? In trading stocks. So, I mean, in 2020, everyone was an unbelievable stock trader.
Right. But they also had the time too. They were stuck.
They had
inside.
The time, but it was also super easy, dude. Like every stock you picked was up 100% last year.
Right. Well, think about the stock. Well, all right. So I think the typical stock that, you know, the Amazons, Walmarts of the world, like those had great years.
Yeah.
But it's when you dip down that risk spectrum of like getting into the mid and small caps, those are the ones where you dig in and you are trying to hit 400 foot bombs.
Yeah.
Right. And those are the type of plays that I think we're talking about in these play accounts, these sandbox accounts, things like that.
Yeah. So, all right. So we kind of broke down as people are investing, depending on your age, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 or beyond, it always makes sense to have a chunk of your portfolio, a sizable chunk that is being managed in a disciplined and diversified strategy. And for a lot of our listeners, that probably means you're not even messing with it. You have an outsourced financial advisor managing it, or you're in a bunch of mutual funds, whatever it might be. It's being managed by somebody else, somebody other than you. You're not getting cute with it. Then you've got your cute account. Depending on your age, you know, you can have more or less in that bucket. But now what I want to talk about is I want to talk about just listening to the talking heads on TV, like me. A lot of people seem to appreciate my stock takes. Obviously, our investment team is looking at all the financials, the fundamentals. But you don't hear me get on there and scream PE ratio and EV to sales and EV to EBITDA. Like, that's not me.
Right.
We know that. And obviously, any stocks that we are buying or any stocks that are on our watch list, the price has to be right for us. Right. But, you know, I typically like to talk about the story of the stock. So there's a lot of people who might be traders. They might be investors. They like what I have to say. And I want to be very specific about letting everyone know that if your time horizon is different from mine, if you're a trader, let me back up. So anytime we buy a stock, we intend on holding it for at least a year. And we don't buy a stock unless we think that stock can get a double digit return for us over the course of that year. And we don't buy that stock unless the risk reward looks promising. And we don't buy that stock unless we like the management team. And we don't buy that stock unless we like the growth story. Like, it's right. Got to check all those check boxes for us.
Let me ask you a question. So you're on, you know, CNBC, Fox Business quite a bit. What's the percentage that you feel are stocks that you talk about? Because you're on quite a bit. So there, you have this laundry list of stocks, right?
Yeah.
What's the percentage that you would classify go into the play account versus the ones that are fundamentally built for a good, steady growth portfolio?
All right, so let's assume I'm on 4 days a week.
Yep.
It's kind of been the average. If I'm on 4 days a week, I bet you one out of the four is going to be a stock that I own in my speculative bucket.
The home run stock.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other three or more of our steady eddies.
Right.
Right. It's, and you got to have your steady eddies. Like, dude, this year, if I were to look up Walmart's performance or Apple's performance, like, they're probably not great. I don't even know. Walmart's probably flat. Apple might be flat or maybe even negative. Exactly. But I'll tell you what, dude, the people that own a bunch of Walmart and Apple, they're getting a lot of REM sleep lately. they're doing A-okay.
Right.
They don't have to deal with these gut-wrenching ups and downs in the market.
Yeah, it's, and I expect we're going to have quite a bit of those this year.
Yeah.
And the home run stocks are going to be even way outside the spectrum.
You look at the Zooms of the world, the Teladocs, those stocks that just went through the roof last year.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, they're down 30, 40, 50% off their peak.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, one day, all of a sudden, they start to make a comeback, and then the next day, they sell off. So as soon as you think you have it figured out, the stock market proves you wrong.
Right.
All right, so getting back to the stocks I'm pitching, right? Or I shouldn't say I'm pitching. The stocks I'm mentioning as stocks that we are either buying or on our watch list. It's important to understand that if I say that I want to buy, let's just use Teladoc as an example. And I'm interested in Teladoc at $140 a share. I think I mentioned that before. Teladoc in the 140s looks pretty nice. That does not mean that 3 months later, Teladoc might not be 120 or 100. You know, so if you're a short-term trader, just because I like it and I think it's going to be higher a year from that point does not mean that it won't go lower. And that's important to understand when you're listening to the talking heads on TV, whether it's me, Downtown Josh Brown, whoever it is you're listening to, you got to understand that their time horizon is probably different from yours. So you need to take what they say with a grain of salt and then go and do your own homework and make sure that's a good stock for your time horizon.
Right. And your objective.
Correct.
Where is it going? What are you trying to do with it?
Correct.
If you're trying to have it as a long-term investment, dollar cost average into that idea.
Right. Maybe you start off with a third to 50% of your desired position on day one.
Right. So if it does go down to that 100 mark, like you just said, like, oh, my trade is down 140 to 100, you can dollar cost average into it. So you get a better base. But if it's an investment, you know, like now that's the prudent way to go, I believe.
Yeah. So I agree. All right. So I think we hit on just paying attention to time horizon. You know, just because someone on TV or in the media likes a stock, that doesn't mean it's right for your time horizon.
Right.
Okay. Listen to it and then go and do your own homework. The next thing I want to mention, Tom, is time horizons as it relates to someone's financial plan. So I had a talk with a prospective client about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. The gentleman had about $1.5 million of investments, retired. He's got other income coming in for the next 4 years. And then his investment portfolio, which is $1.5 million right now, that needs to kick off income for him beginning in year five. Turns out it has to be about $100,000 a year. All right. So look, obviously this dude needs a full blown financial plan, but we're going to work with rules of thumb here. We're going to work with the rule of four.
Yep.
Okay. So the rule of four says you can take 4% out of your account every single year and you'll never run out of money, adjusted for inflation, all that stuff, right? That rule is kind of dead. It's probably 3% now.
Yeah.
But let's use 4. Okay. Give the guy the benefit of the doubt. So I told him, all right, you're at 1.5 million. If you want to start taking out 100 grand a year 4 years from today, that means we got to be at 2.5 million. Are you comfortable with taking on a lot of risk? Because that's a 14% annualized return.
Are you a miracle worker?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not. So, which is, this is important because we had to be completely transparent with this dude. We couldn't say, bro, we can do it.
Yeah, we got you.
We got to say, hey, man, like these are some lofty goals.
Right.
Are you comfortable taking on all of this risk? And his answer was no. Okay. So now it's like, all right, so now we got to do a 14% annualized return over the next 4 years. God forbid in year five, we're in a bear market. And your portfolio is suddenly down 25% that year.
Yep.
This is, everything has to work according to plan or else this is, it's not going to go well.
Right.
So this was kind of a think outside the box idea with them. I'm like, all right, man. So what if we did something like this? The average bear market, the time it takes for a bear market to recover its losses since 1928 is about 26 months. It's a little over 2 years. Okay. So let's bump it up to 3 years. Let's assume, God forbid, this dude, you know, year, 4 years come and go. We're doing a good job. And all of a sudden, boom, we're in a bear market.
Right.
Well, we don't want to touch that portfolio while it's in a bear market.
Yep. Don't want to lock in losses, right. Things like that. Yep.
So let's plan for a 3 year long bear market. So here was my suggestion to him. What if, so you're not comfortable taking on 100% risk. You can't go 100% stock. So you got 1.5 million. What if we carved out 300 grand at 100 grand a year? Times 3 years, that should be your safety net to get you through your bear market. Okay. Cause we just said you'll regain your losses on average 26 months later. So we're going to buy them 36 months just in case it takes a little longer. Throw that in some sort of like an enhanced savings vehicle that can't go down, target mid single digit returns with that 4 or 5%, somewhere around there. That's what we'd be targeting. Then that gives us a permission slip to swing a little harder on the 1.2 million that's left.
Right.
And it gives us 7 years to work that miracle, right, instead of 4 years.
Right. And I don't know if you mentioned it, but, you know, he has this income stream over the next 4 years.
Yep.
Right. So
he's fine. He doesn't need to tap the portfolio until year five.
Yep. Right. So now with a strategy like that, as you said, we're now extending that 7 years because of the bear market, right when he needs to turn on income. That would be the worst possible time.
And this show's all about time horizon. So this was a time horizon strategy,
right,
where we bought him time. And it gave us the ability to swing harder with the money that was left. I wouldn't be able to work for that guy and swing out of my shoes with the entire 1.5 million.
To get to 2.5 in four years?
I couldn't do it. And we had to tell him that, like, dude, we can't do that for you.
Yeah.
I hope we can do it. But we would rather under promise and over deliver, right? Like, I just don't think that's a realistic target to shoot for. So that is another example of utilizing time horizon, not just in managing your investments, but in building out your investment strategy, giving you an opportunity to swing a little harder. Because I got to be honest, man, you know, the 60-40 portfolio of a decade ago, that doesn't sound very appetizing for a lot of people, because 40% of your money is going to literally earn zero. The money in bonds and fixed income.
I've talked about it before, is creating that 50, 30, 20 kind of portfolio where 20% is doing something different outside of stocks and bonds.
Yeah. So 50 in stocks, 30 in bonds, 20 in alternatives.
Bitcoin's not an alternative. It kind of is, but it not for this.
But it's not 20% alternative.
Yes.
It should make up your whole 20.
Right.
Now that 50, 30, 20, that's probably a nice strategy for a pre-retiree, right? So someone who's like 60-ish years old, right? Someone who's 30, obviously something much different. And still, I think 30% fixed income is scary. I really have been liking, more than anything lately, Tone, I've been liking working backwards and figuring out, like, let's take some money and set it aside in some sort of an enhanced savings vehicle for 3 years. How much do you need? How much do you need every year in retirement? Let's set that aside. Let's make sure you got 3 years covered. If you're more conservative, let's do 5 years.
Right.
Right. If you're more risk averse, we'll do 5 years. No big deal. Let's set that aside. And now we don't have to follow a 60-40 or a 50-30-20 on the money that's left.
Right. So, I mean, because if we have I know you said the bear market, let's use 36 months. What if we had a 2020 where it was more like 12 months?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We can still dip into that pocket and still have 2 years left down the road.
Correct.
While we give that portfolio the ability to get back to the par rate.
And having that money in that single digit earning vehicle, that's not something that that's just there for that guy that we used, the example we used in years 5, 6, and 7. That could be there in years 10, 11, 12, if that's when the bear market is. You might as well have something like that, right? Yeah. So maybe that's the new way to build portfolios that are going to get you attractive returns, that are going to give you peace of mind. Maybe it's not 60, 40, 50, 30, 20. Maybe asset allocation just is dead. Like, maybe that's not the answer. Maybe the answer is, I just want to buy myself time so that I can get a little more aggressive. Because we've been living in a Tina situation. There is no alternative. There have been two alternatives, the U.S. stock market and crypto. Other than that, you're not making money anywhere.
Right. And you talked about the enhanced savings program. We're assuming it's doing zero.
Yes.
What if it does 2, 3, 4%? That could buy him another half, maybe 3 to 6 months worth of income.
Yep.
So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. So any other takes on time horizon? We kind of talked about incorporating time horizon into your investment selection process, right? Like, just because you hear someone like me, if I like Teladoc at $140, that doesn't mean that you can't get it at 100 in a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
I just happen to think it'll be higher a year from today.
I mean, the only other thing with maybe not time horizon, well, I mean, I guess it is part of time horizon. Where my head's going is taxes. I know we briefly brushed qualified funds, non-qualified funds. If you are a trader, man, it'd be nice to have your money in a qualified type of plan. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA.
Where you're making trades.
Where you're making trades maybe weekly, monthly.
Because of the short-term capital gains.
And the NQ, it's going to eat into your returns. Where if you can.
No doubt.
It's just something to think about.
Especially with Biden's current proposal.
Yeah.
Taking long-term capital gains to short-term rates.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yes. For any trading accounts, if you can carve out IRA money for that, that would be ideal.
For a trader.
Yes.
An investor, you shouldn't be as concerned.
Correct. You will have turnover.
Yeah.
You will. I mean, even in our strategies, we hope we never make a mistake, but that's not true. We buy the wrong stocks, and we got a blow out of them because we got in at the wrong time. Yep. It's very interesting. This market right now, I mentioned it on TV this morning. Like, dude, it'll give you whiplash if you're not prepared for it. Like, it's down so much one day, tech's the worst sector, and then all of a sudden tech leads the charge the next day. And it looks like it's rebounding from the dead, right?
The swings are very wide right now.
It's a very, very interesting market. It's not the easiest for a trader, but it's also very interesting for long-term investors right now.
It is. Maybe being in more of those steady eddies are stocks, Walmart, Amazon, Apple.
For investors,
You said, you're going to get your sleep, right? Because they're not swinging all over the place.
You're going to get that REM sleep just fine, right? Yeah. If you owned Bitcoin, when Bitcoin sold off, 30 to 50% a few days ago, you didn't sleep that night.
Right.
Now, if you own it in the appropriate percentage, again, going back to your buckets you talked about, right? Like for me, crypto, it used to be 7% of my liquid net worth. It's down to about 5. I mean, it's gone down a little bit. But I've been talking for a long time. Like, I'm cool with that, dude. I'm comfortable. If it went to zero, which I do not think it will, if it went to zero, I'm going to be fine. So you just got to figure out that sweet spot when we talk about the figuring out your different buckets.
Yep.
All right. So that wraps up today's show. As always, thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, hit us up at info@swpconnect.com. Check out the show notes. Check out the YouTube channel. If you write us a 5-star review, shoot us over a screenshot of that to info@swpconnect.com. We'll shoot you over some swag. As always, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. Hey, it's Mark. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Look, if you wouldn't mind, please go to your podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you use, and give us a 5-star rating and review. You know, the best way for us to continue to educate and enlighten every single one of you is for more and more people to know about us, and your review would help us with that. Also, we've had quite a few listeners reach out to us lately asking about financial planning. So we've decided to offer a special to every single one of our listeners. It's a $495 comprehensive financial plan, no strings attached. You don't have to move your investments under our management. We're not going to use the plan as a gimmick to sell you a product. There's absolutely no hidden agenda and no further obligation on your part. You just get great conflict-free advice from us. And all you have to do is visit your495plan.com. That's your495plan.com. Fill out your info. One of our certified financial planners will reach out and begin to build out your plan. Visit your495plan.com today. This podcast is not intended to be advice or a recommendation. This is an opinion podcast, and that goes for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategies we speak of. Everyone's situation is different, so you should consult your own financial, legal, tax, investment professional before you implement any strategy you hear about on this show and any strategy you hear about in real life as well. Consult your own professional.